Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us for the fun hour. We've made it. 1 hour left. It is 1 p.m. on Thursday before Christmas. We're having fun. Jane Matinere is in her light-up scarf. You're looking just so festive.
Oh, I thank you so very much. I just had to bring it out this week.
I know. You know, you just got to get it in there. I have my my new edition, this year's edition of my Miller Lite Ugly Christmas sweater that I will be wearing either tomorrow or maybe on Christmas. And I'm seeing that potentially, is Rob still joining us?
I just admitted him. I just responded to an email that he was not going to be able to join us. So hopefully he will be Zooming in just momentarily, unless this is something that happened automatically.
I don't know. And so I guess we'll see. Talking about improv. And so this is the beauty of live radio. And sometimes we shift gears. Sometimes we go back. Rob, are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
And we are live, Rob.
All right. You are live. Well, fantastic. Well,
we thought you weren't going to be able to make
Wisconsin,
it.
Yeah, I'm here right now, and I'm safely parked by the Coles in Johnson Creek. So you have me full access right now. No distractions.
Did you get stuck in a little bit of weather?
I had to get a coworker to the airport this morning and then to find out that her flight was canceled out of Milwaukee. But I did get her safely down there. The executive director of the Indigenous Cannabis Industry Association, she's flying back to Idaho. And of course, you know, the weather here is always what it is. So we did the best we could, and she's actually flying out tomorrow morning, but I did get her safely there. Now I'm in Johnson Creek and almost home and just in time for my interview. So sorry I'm late.
No, you're good. We're happy to be able to talk to you. We're bummed. I was like, at the break, cool. I was like, what other Christmas fun story could we talk about? But now that you're here,
oh my gosh,
let's talk about cannabis.
Trans, trains and automobiles. Yeah, let's talk about it for sure. What do you want to know?
Well, let's set it up a little bit. So you are a member of the Bad River Tribe, and you're known as a strategic entrepreneurial leader. He's committed to honoring his Indigenous heritage through his commitment to doing everything, as the Ojibwe say, in a good way. And so you have lots of things on your plate. So you're the first Native American, you're Wisconsin's first CEO founder of a Native American independently owned CBD company. And then that was 2019 you started that?
2020.
And then since then, if that wasn't enough, on your plate of trying to start a company, and you also kicked off the ICIA, which stands for, I'm trying to find the Indigenous Cannabis Industry Association. And so let's start with the company. So what got you into CBD? Obviously, in Wisconsin, we have not passed any kind of laws legalizing weed, but we do have Delta 9. And we have CBD. And so how did you get into turning this into a business?
Yeah, I think, you know, we were all, at least me growing up, you know, in the 90s and being a cannabis, you know, consumer for a long, long time. You know, I was always just waiting, like, am I going to have to move to Amsterdam? Am I going to have to move to Colorado? Like, I would love to, like, be in this space, you know, just as a creative, you know, as a consumer, you know, as someone that, you know, this plant medicine has been a sanctuary for myself for a long, long time, you know, and it's obviously a passion. So when 2018, they rolled out the Farm Bill, it was an opportunity for kind of a step one in Wisconsin to just get involved and see what that market looked like. And it was hemp, you know, which is a form of cannabis that's more industrial based, but there's also medicinal benefits to that, you know, through the endocannabinoids like CBD and, you know, what you're seeing is the, you know, hemp-derived THC in the state as well. So threw my hat in the ring, started a business, threw some branding behind it, and I've been trying to keep my head above water in our state, which has been pretty frustrating the last few years.
Say more about that, if you're willing.
Well, yeah, you know, legal THC is available just south of us. You know, I'd say south Beloit, Sunnyside. I don't mean to plug them, but man, that seems like the one dispensary that's serving, you know, most of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, half the plates in there are from Wisco, and Minnesota's about to go full legal. Michigan is already that way. And, you know, we're just a few steps behind, but again, losing a ton of tax dollars, revenues, you know, workforce development, you know, all sorts of economic impacts that we're missing out on right now. So it's very frustrating.
I think, I mean, as someone who doesn't work in the industry, but also as a taxpayer who feels like you see how much money and revenue could be coming in, and it's happening anyways. And most of the cities in Wisconsin have decriminalized possession to a point where it's basically a noise disorder if you even have it. And so it's like, what are we doing here besides just missing out?
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, the decriminalization, which, you know, we've seen kind of on a federal level too, with the rescheduling, you know, and the expungements is great, you know, but, you know, for our state to keep us muzzled as really taxpayers, you know, and making sure that, you know, our money's staying within our own state boundaries, but also just the economic and workforce development opportunities, you know, for small business, for industry. You know, you talk about hemp, and there's a whole other industry in regards to climate smart ag and fiber sourcing, and hempcrete, and, you know, all the fabulous things that come from that plant too. So it's just limiting, you know, our potential.
Absolutely. So I want to switch over to then, like we said, we have your company, but then you were obviously inspired to create an association titled Indigenous Cannabis Industry Association. And so what motivated that, and what was missing that you felt like there needed to be? Because this is national. This is in Wisconsin, but obviously it's also talking to tribes across the country.
Yeah, advocacy is a big deal for Indigenous communities. You know, and that, you know, leadership is changing guard a little bit as we're all getting a little bit older. You know, I'm 46 now, and, you know, a lot of my peers are now in leadership positions at their companies and within their tribal governments, too. So, you know, to set the stage, there's 574 tribes in our country. You know, they all have sovereignty. You know, sovereignty basically means that, you know, that's nation-to-nation consultation. And that really hasn't happened historically, you know, between, you know, the tribes and the states for various reasons, you know. So that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But the goal with ICIA is to get everybody organized, get the tribes talking to each other, have it be done by community members. You know, and 70% of our tribal enrolled members, you know, live off reservation. So we're really just out in the urban and just the, you know, the normal environment, you know, and no one really understands that. But us, you know, taking a step up and advocating for the tribes, building an ecosystem and a table that's set by Indigenous for Indigenous, but also can really provide a template for regulation for the public at large, because we have sovereignty. We could have proprietary tribal markets, and we also have 70% of the undeveloped agricultural land in our country. So a lot of assets are sitting there, and everyone's very interested in it too, but, you know, not a lot of people understand how to speak, you know, with our Indigenous communities the right way. So, you know, that's another big part of it too, is we want to help our non-Native partners, you know, understand our culture more, you know, bring everyone to the table, but really on our own accord, you know, for once.
Because it is different. I was reading, I forgot which article I was reading in preparation of having you on the show, that it's, because it's still something that is banned federally, at least the THC, it's not like what, you know, so much the association of casinos on tribal land and kind of that being on different rules and different laws than the state. But because of THC still being federally banned, there is no different rules for now for Indigenous tribes, correct?
Well, there really is. You know,
there is. Okay.
A matter of, yeah, sovereignty really does apply to all, you know, levels of government there, and that it applies to, you know, legalization of marijuana. And you've seen tribes, you know, exercise sovereignty, you know, in the past, and unfortunately hasn't gone well, you know. And Wisconsin's a PL-280 state, you know, so basically we, you know, the feds have delegated, you know, that responsibility of government relations to be tribes to state. Menominee is the one that's not PL-280, but they still do kind of work with the state on most of their resolutions or compacts. But, you know, it's been something that we've had an opportunity to do, and some have been bold and some have been, you know, punished because of it. And tribes also receive a lot of federal funding, so it's a tough you know, race to get into when you're commingling funds from a Schedule I federally illegal drug with, you know, federal funding that you're receiving. So that's where the feds can really kind of restrain, you know, what that diversification could look like. But there's also, you know, exercising sovereignty is a real thing. It's just there's apprehension in regards to doing it.
Then finally, you guys have a conference coming up. So in February of this year, of next year, Wisconsin Cannabis Industry and Policy Summit is coming to Milwaukee. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, we're super psyched to just bring, you know, some high-level conversation around cannabis to our state. You know, this is really the first exercise for ICIA into doing some more micro industry awareness and policy, movement and development. So we're going to have, industry experts, from our state and also from neighboring states, as models of what's coming to kind of talk and just educate about the industry in general, get a state of the affairs for, what's happening in Wisconsin right now with our current cannabis market, what could be happening, right now with our current market and what should be done to provide more transparency with it. And then, the emerging market and the impacts, that are coming to our state and making sure that our businesses and our, community at large is prepared for this. Education and data is key. So we'll have a lot of data developed, to basically dish out at this event. And we really want this to be educational, awareness-based, and community-driven.
Absolutely. And so are there any, if you want people want to get more information about that, where should they go?
Yeah, you can go to indigenouscannabis.org. Our event is right in the header there. You can click on that to get the information on the soft agenda for now. The full agenda is being built out. Like I said, we'll have industry experts from across the country. We'll have state, tribal leadership and policy leaders there, discussing kind of our current political climate here in the state, which I know a lot of people have piqued interest in. But you can get all the details on there. You can register. Our max right now is 125. So, register soon. It's the 15th and the 16th. So more information there and happy to answer any questions in the meantime.
Awesome. All right. Well, Rob Harrow is the owner of Indigenous and the founder of the Indigenous Cannabis Industry Association. Thank you for spending time with us. Stay safe in your car. I hope the weather holds out until you get home.
Yeah. Happy Christmas, everyone. And as goes Wisconsin, just take it easy out there and be mindful of others. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Take care.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on this snowy Thursday before Christmas. How's it looking there, Jane?
It is, it's kind of slowing down, but the winds have certainly picked up.
You can tell from the trees?
Yeah, I can just tell from the way things that are blowing. Again, the snow has slowed a little bit, but it definitely has gotten considerably colder.
Can you feel it are you warm and toasty in the studio?
I am warm and toasty in the studio, which is... considering we were windowless for about a month, is a wonderful thing.
We really needed to get that window fixed before the winter came.
And
that was good.
Yes, that was great.
I'm looking right now, and it currently looks like in Wisconsin Rapids, it is -2 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be fun to get into. My phone looks like it changed to Chinese figures. And so I might have screwed up my phone just now as far as my phone is not showing up in English at the moment. The number is the same. It's still -2.
I've done that on my laptop and picked the wrong language inadvertently. I didn't even know you could do that on your phone.
On your weather app, at least for right now, this will be a post-show problem that I'll have to solve because I don't know why it's showing that right
now. A good time to learn Mandarin.
Never too late.
Never too late.
All right. Well, I thought this would be a little fun game for our fun hour. Google has used the power of, as we were saying before, nothing is private, Google search histories to let everyone know what the most popular cookie is in each state. And
cookies. This is cookie in general, or this is Christmas cookie in specific?
So a new map released by Google Trends shows the most uniquely searched cookie in every state compared to the rest of the country. Hmm. So I guess it's, I don't know if it's just the recipe or it's just Googling the cookie. And so there's some trends. There's certainly one big Midwest trend that I was like, huh. And I actually didn't know. Once I saw a picture of these, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But I didn't know them by name. But if you had to guess, what do you think Wisconsin's most searched for cookie is, according to Google?
I am conflicted.
All right.
So I'm going to go with Snickerdoodle.
Oh, good guess.
And for the Christmas side, I'm going to go with like the thumbprint jelly cookie.
Oh, I don't know what it's called.
I'm sure there's a name, a specific name for those, but those are the two that I would go with.
So you're wrong, but peanut butter blossoms.
Are they round?
So by name, I was like, what the heck is a peanut butter blossom? But then I looked up the picture and I was like, oh, yeah. So they're the peanut butter cookies, like not sugar cookies. They're like peanut butter cookies. And then you put the Hershey Kiss in the middle.
Oh.
You know exactly what, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just never knew that's what they were called. But it's those are popular in multiple states, and they are very good. I think I like those. They're best when they're just out of the oven.
Yes, and a little warm.
Yes, because I feel like the cookie chocolate ratio is off if the chocolate isn't melting. Like if you have to bite into a hard Hershey Kiss, I feel like those aren't as good, but that's my opinion. But we're not the only ones. North Dakota, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, and Nevada. All those, not the Midwest thing. I don't know who went to Nevada and brought the peanut butter blossoms with them, but popular there too.
All right.
And to answer your question, Snickerdoodles, no one's most popular cookie.
Oh.
At least for Christmas. I think this is specifically a Christmas cookie thing.
Okay. I mean, Snickerdoodles are a classic.
They are classic. And I was looking through this, and I feel like a lot of these I didn't, besides gingerbread cookies, which are obvious. I know what those look like. But some of the other ones that are on the list, I was like, I don't even know what these look like. So in North Carolina, Moravian cookie?
A what?
Moravian. And they kind of look like little wafers and similar, like somewhat similar to a ginger snap. But I have never heard of those before.
I haven't either. Moravians.
So that's North Carolina.
Okay.
You know, then there's some obvious one of, sugar cookies, gingerbread cookies, red velvet cookies, but something like a Polish Christmas cookie. Do you know what those look like?
Is it very lacy?
It's somewhat. It's similar to what you were saying with the jelly fingerprint, except they're like little, they kind of look like little cannolis where there's like jelly on the inside and then they're wrapped and then they have powdered sugar on top.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I've had those. They look good. But then, you know, what I also didn't know was the Italian Christmas cookies. And I was like, what is an Italian Christmas cookie? This is a very East Coast thing, but they're like the little sugar cookies that are, covered in frosting, like entirely dipped in frosting, and then have colorful sprinkles on top.
The sugar, the red and green sugar sprinkles.
It's the sprinkles are up to you on what you want to put on. But I thought this was just so fun. And then the one that I didn't know what these were either. This is, I'll let you guess which state these are the most popular in. Kitchen sink Christmas cookies.
Kitchen sink Christmas cookies.
We could also guess how many different ingredients go in. Because you can imagine, with the name Kitchen Sink, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Everything's going in there. How about Ohio?
No, I just said that. The peanut butter blossoms.
Oh, sorry.
Or the Ohio. It's a South.
Alabama.
But you're close.
Mississippi.
Starts with the same letter.
Arkansas.
There you go. But this is what goes into a Kitchen Sink cookie. Green and red M&Ms. Marshmallows, mini pretzel twists, chopped up cocktail peanuts, and then topped off with red, green, and white candy sprinkles.
Holy mackerel. That's enough sugar there to carry you through the entire year.
I don't know. They sound pretty good. Maybe I'll make those today. All right. Well, when we come back, Wisconsin Beer Baron Chris Drosner will be here, and we're going to talk about holiday beers, new beer news, and how to support breweries during these slow months. With us, this is Ask Us Wisconsin.